All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton here. Three words, all you need to hear right now. Wild card weekend. Any year, it's one of my favorite weekends of the year, along with the divisional weekend. The next two weekends are two of the best sports weekends of the year. And you hear all about, and there's a lot of them. You hear about March Madness first two rounds, and those are great. Or other things, you know. I like them all, I like a bunch of sports. But no one ever really talks about these two playoff weekends, I guess because football just dominates the whole year. It's not just about these two weekends like in some other sports. But sneakily, is it getting any better? I mean, I think next weekend's the best one because that's when you get to the, you know, the top seeds, and now there's only one bye week instead of two teams get a bye. But I think divisional round's the best. Hopefully we're a part of that. But these next two, I mean, I've been humming like the NFL Films music to myself all week, just getting excited for it. The Bucks and Cowboys, of course, will go last. They'll play on Monday night, the second only ever Monday night playoff game. They just started doing that last year with Super Wild Card Weekend. And so the way it works, because I didn't realize this last year, and I just realized it now. Like this past week, I was trying to figure out, like, when are the Bucks going to play? Are they going to be like the Saturday afternoon, Saturday night? Then there's three slots on Sunday, and then, of course, the Monday nighter. And I didn't realize, it makes sense, of course, you know, the NFL, as is part of being all a near-perfect playoff system, the NFL reseeds. I shouldn't even say reseeds after every round, but what they do is basically the highest always plays the lowest, next highest plays next lowest. They don't have a set bracket, and that's the way it should be. It's the most fair and equitable way. It's absolutely as it should. I love it. But with that being the way it is, results of the games can change the future schedule. So if the 7 beats the 2 and the 6 beats the 3, then, for example, the winner of the Bucks in Dallas would be the home team next weekend somewhere. But a 4-5 game is the only game that doesn't change that, because either way, the same teams are above and behind you in the 4-5 slot. So the Monday night playoff game has to be a 4-5 game. I didn't realize that, but it makes sense. And so if I had known that, I honestly could have told you that this was going to be the Monday night game probably weeks ago, because, I mean, you had to wait a little bit to see what the AFC game was, but you knew they're not going to put the Titans or the Jaguars versus San Diego or somebody like, and we didn't know the matchups for sure, but it was very, very likely for some time, with the Bucks and Cowboys being pretty much locked in for a while now, that this would be the Monday night game, and that's what we've got. So it'll be Bucks in Dallas. Of course, the Cowboys come in with a 12-5 record. The Bucks are 8-9. Cowboys are a 2.5 favorite. 8:15 p.m. kickoff. Weather should be nice. A little cool, you know, not like what you're going to see in some other northern playoff climates in January, but mid-50s at kickoff. It'll be nice. You know, maybe not shorts and t-shirt weather like we've had in some other years, but it should be a really nice time. And if you want to go to the game, you can get tickets. They're available. They're running around a little over 200 right now out the door, fees and all that. So, you know, not cheap, but not like what you're hearing. Although I think it is the most expensive of all the 6 wild card games this weekend, which makes sense with it being the Cowboys and things like that. And so you're going to get a lot of numbers thrown at you. Already have, leading up to this game. And some of them actually do mean something. Some of them don't mean anything. For example, 19-3. That was the score when the Bucks beat the Cowboys in Week 1 this year. That one means a little bit. I know the obvious way, who cares what happened in Week 1? It's not that I care what happened in Week 1. I guarantee you once toe hits leather on Monday night, what happened in Week 1 will mean nothing. But the very idea that you're playing a team that you've literally beaten and held without a touchdown. In fact, there was only one touchdown between both teams in that game. The fact that you've done that means something. I don't think it means anything psychologically. I'm not saying the Bucks need that memory to know they can win. They can clearly win anyway. But there are some things that you can glean from that game. First of all, that was the most pressure-filled game. And when I say pressure, I mean literally pass rush pressure, not emotional pressure, that Dak played all season. He was pressured a season high 11 times in that game by the Buccaneer defense. And that's going to factor at, there's all these different things. Oh, what's going to tell the tale on Monday night? What's it going to come down to? It doesn't come down to any one thing, of course. But the Bucs and Todd Bowles' ability to scheme pressure and to get pressure on Dak, they did a really good job of that in the first game. And he didn't see pressure like that again the entire season. Again, 11 times a season high. And his pressure rate was like something like over a third, like 30-something percent. Remember, he didn't play the whole game. He still got pressured 11 times. So those are some numbers there. I've seen this one on Twitter all week long. Tom Brady, 7-0 versus Dallas all time. That means absolutely nothing. I have no idea. I mean, obviously, I don't blame people for posting it or pointing it out. That's fine. But I actually saw a couple of media pundits point to it as like support for their argument why the Bucs can win or whatever. And that's, come on now, like that's pretty lame. That means absolutely nothing. Franchises, I mean, some of those games go back to when Brady was with the Patriots. They go back years. I even heard, this is a true story. I'm not going to name any names. I was reading a bunch of stuff about this game, and I read a playoff preview, and it said, well, you know, the Bucs, you know, they're 0-2 in the playoffs against Dallas, and they were outscored in those games, like, you know, whatever it was, 90-24 or something like that, and they were blowouts. You know when they happened? In the early 80s! But, like, people just attach, this is the power of uniforms. That's why I always talk about uniforms. People attach, I mean, it's the Cowboys, right? That was the Cowboys in 1981 or whatever the hell. It was a strike year, one of the years the Bucs and Cowboys played in the playoffs. They played 2 years in a row in the early 80s. But you're telling me, oh, well, the Cowboys had the Bucs number in the playoffs. Somebody cited that. So, no, that number doesn't mean anything. Dallas is a franchise, does not have a road playoff win since 1992. They are 0-8 since then. In 1992, they won that NFC Championship game where they beat the 49ers 30-20, went on to the Super Bowl, went on to three Super Bowls. That doesn't matter either. Okay. Dallas this season. This one does matter, I think. 1-4 on grass. And in fact, they haven't had a winning record on grass going back to 2018. I'm not saying it's that big of a deal. You're just looking for all kinds of little things. But it's kind of, you know, you get them off their home turf a little bit. Another one, this one definitely matters, and this is going to be something that people have been, and they have been talking about it a lot. You know, the Dallas, and Dak in particular, has struggled. The offense has struggled a little bit with turnovers. And Dak leads the NFL. He's tied with Davis Mills. 15 interceptions this year. Now, that's despite missing five games. So interception rate, he leads the NFL by far. Okay. He was 8-4 as a starter. Remember, he got hurt in that game against the Bucs in week one on Sunday Night Football in the middle of the game and didn't come back for a few weeks. So he only started 12 of their games. They were 8-4 with him as a starter, 4-1 without him as a starter. But even in the 12 games he played where they had a good 8-4 record, he threw a pick in 10 of those 12. And again, he leads the league in interceptions with 15 despite missing five games. That's not nothing. Now, the Bucs have been starting to turn it on a little bit lately with turnovers. So obviously, that's something they're going to be looking for in any game, but it's certainly something they're going to be looking for on Monday night. I'll only say this about the turnover thing, though. They're a lot more random than people give it credit for. Like, turnovers are not one of those things that, oh, we need to improve our turnover game. We need to try harder to get turnovers. You're always trying to get turnovers. A lot of it's, especially fumble. Interceptions may be a little less random. Fumble luck is incredibly random. But even interceptions, a lot of times those have as much to do with the other team than you wanting to get them. Or sometimes they're just random. Sometimes they're legit. You know, a guy misses a coverage or you scheme something and you trick a guy into thinking something's one place where it's in another. Well, then sometimes the ball bounces off a guy's hands or his shoulder pad or something and the other guy intercepts it. So, yeah, I don't know. The Bucs have done well with it lately. We'll see if anything comes of it. But that's obviously in any big game always something you look at with the turnovers. The Dallas secondary has struggled a little bit since they lost Anthony Brown, who was their big-time starting corner. He was lost for the season in early December. And in the past 5 weeks since then, they've given up 21 passing plays of 20 yards or more. That is the most in the NFL. And so you look at that side of the ball, then you look at the other side of the ball, and Dallas's bread and butter is kind of supposedly running the ball. Dak has not exactly lit it up, although he played pretty okay. For the most part. Again, the Bucs gave him probably the most trouble he's had. But Dallas, you know, running the ball even last week against the Commanders, they struggled mightily to do that. That was a weird loss. I mean, Dallas was not playing for anything that game. They were out there with a chance to, I mean, they needed Philadelphia to lose, which probably was never going to happen because the Giants weren't even, you know, they were starting Davis Webb or something like that. But still, like, that was not a game where it's like, hey, we're mailing it in. And they didn't look very good at all against the Commanders. Now, does that mean anything now? Probably not. But I'm just looking at, you know, different things, different angles. And speaking of not trying, I mean, it's all about the wild card now. I'm not here to talk about the Falcons game, but a little disappointed in that one. I mean, I you know, we talked before the game last week about how obviously you want to win. Obviously, you want to go 9-8 instead of 8-9. Obviously, it means something, especially to Brady, who's never had a losing record. But at the same time, you have to take into account the health of your team and make sure everything's going to be okay there. And you can't put that behind anything else. And yet, once the game got going, especially when the Bucs had a lead, 17-10, I just 17-7, I think it was at one point. And then, obviously, the I don't want to say all the backups just came in and blew it because the Falcons scored one of the touchdowns when the starters were still in. But the Bucs got outscored 20-0 in the second half. That wasn't cool, dude. That wasn't cool. And I at least thought they were going to accomplish something if they did rest everybody. But they didn't get a good look at Kyle Trask again. And Kyle Trask is not even anywhere near the storyline right now. But since that game happened last week, I'll go ahead and say it. Looking ahead to next year before we get back into the Cowboys game. Because I thought, okay, well, here's a chance for some regular season live bullet action. We've proven we're just going to, you know, rest guys, so let's let Trask have a chance. They go to Blaine Gabbert after Brady for most of the second half, and then Trask comes in a little bit at the end. So here's a guy we refuse to play in regular season games, even ones where we have a chance to because the game doesn't matter. He's not even been active for the games, much less played in them until this one on this past Sunday. And so I'm looking at a guy who over two seasons now has not even been active for most games, has not even played until this one. They let him throw a couple passes. Has never been, even in the preseason, never gotten the opportunity to be in there with starters or anything like that. I'm not feeling from the Bucs like this guy's part of the plan. Maybe he's, I'm not even saying, you know, there's anything wrong with Kyle Trask, although I've never been that in love, and I'm a Gator. But all the signs, the way they handle him, the only thing that doesn't make sense is why they actually drafted him with a second-round pick. I don't understand. But I can't believe, with the chances they've had, both in the preseason and this past Sunday, and knowing Brady's situation, which is completely up in the air, I think he's going to play next season, but I don't know that for sure. And if he does, I certainly don't think it's likely it's here, although it's possible. So, I mean, the Bucs need to be thinking about this stuff, obviously, and I'm sure they are, and yet crickets when it comes to Trask. At least he got a completion. They made Ryan Griffin wait like 8 years to get his first NFL like snap, much less completion, so at least Trask only had to wait two. But anyway, I don't know. It feels weird to have a guy who doesn't play. He's not even two. He's number three. Doesn't get activated, doesn't dress, and oh yeah, he's a major part of the plan next year. Weird. I don't know. But anyway, as an aside, that was what I noticed the most about the Atlanta game. Still a bummer to go 8-9. Of course, when they kick off on Monday night, no one will care what either team's record is. But since we're talking about records, this is the fifth time that a team with a 500 or below record has won their division. So there's been other 8-8 teams to be wild cards and stuff like that. We're talking about at home. Fifth time a home team has been below 500 with a winning team coming in. And I'm talking about since 2000, since the current NFL division setup and everything like that, okay? So the only time that team has lost was actually when the Bucs beat the Redskins 2 years ago in 2020. Those teams are 4-1. In 2008, the Chargers were 8-8, won the AFC West, won the wild card game against Indianapolis. 2010, you've probably seen the highlights already this week. That was the Beastquake run. The Seahawks, 7-9, beat an 11-5 Saints team in Seattle. The Broncos in 2011 won the AFC West at 8-8. Took Pittsburgh to overtime in the wild card game. Tim Tebow hit, what was it, Demaryius Thomas, right, I think, wasn't it? Wasn't that like the first play of overtime, like an 80-yard just slant, and he turned it upfield and scored. And the Panthers in 2014 were 7-8-1. So still a losing record, and they beat Arizona in the wild card round. All four of those teams lost in the divisional round, but the point is, teams in the Bucs situation, 4-1 in the last 14 years. And then you got, like I told you earlier, Dallas 1-4 on grass. There's a few things that kind of point, you know, I mean, this game could go either way. I'm not saying, you know, I'm trying to read too many tea leaves, but this isn't a terrible spot for the Bucs, and they've shown they know how to play defense against this team. They haven't shown they know how to play offense against mostly anybody this year. Hopefully that gets better. And on the injury front, at least, things do look better. As I'm recording this on Thursday night, the Bucs practiced earlier today. Everybody was there except for Kyle Rudolph, who caught his first touchdown from Tom Brady in the Atlanta game. He wasn't out there. Everybody else was. Couple of guys were limited participation, including Robert Hainsey and Nick Leverett, so important guys up front, but even still, limited participation right now. A playoff week, and they still have a few days to go. You know, that's a pretty good sign. But everybody else is, like, the Bucs are actually, and I'm not going to say they feel great, because I'm not going to tell guys who've been playing football for 18 weeks now how they feel. I'm just talking about official injury designations. They're pretty healthy right now going into this game. For those wondering about Ryan Jensen, he's out there. He is practicing. According to Rick Stroud, his exact words were, I don't see any momentum for him playing on Monday for this round. They have until this coming Wednesday to make a decision on him if they want to bring him back onto the active roster or not. If they don't do it by then he's done for the year on injured reserve. But they have till then. So he's practicing, going through all this stuff. If the Bucs can somehow beat Dallas, we can worry about that next week. But I'm not going to worry about that right now. What I'm going to tell you is this. All right, this, and you don't need me to tell you what the playoffs mean. It's the playoffs. But I always loved Bill Belichick. There was some, I don't mean Bill Belichick in general, but what Bill Belichick said on this particular topic. There was some, one of those documentary things where they follow the Patriots around. I think it was 2009. But I remember watching it, and they lost to the Ravens in the first round that year. But I remember the week of that game, like when they came to the team facility for work on Wednesday to get ready for the game, like Belichick got up in the auditorium and gave this whole speech. And I'm paraphrasing it. But he said, hey, you know, here we are. This isn't, hey, let's go get him and see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, we'll go watch the film and we'll fix it. And we'll go get him next week. He's like, no, this is a playoff game. Someone's season. And in some cases, people's careers are ending on Sunday. Like that's what's so much fun about it. Like, this is it. And when you think back to these seasons years from now, you're not going to think about, oh, that was the 11-5 team or that was the 8-9 team. You think about, oh, that was the year they went to the blank, the loss in the first round of the playoffs, or that was the year they went to the divisional round. That was the year they went to the NFC Championship. That's how you frame these seasons. Like, literally, whatever you did in the regular season is just to set it up, and then once you do get to the playoffs, you can, like, for example, the 8-9 Bucks, you can erase all that. They win on Monday. If they win on Monday, oh, that was the year they went to the divisional round, lost in the divisional round to so-and-so, or they somehow win two. That's all you're going to remember 20 years from now, how it ended, okay? And they get the chance to write that where, you know, 18 other teams don't. There's still 14 teams that get to still determine how it's going to end, and that's the beauty of the playoffs. I love it. I can't wait for it, not just the Bucs game. It's not even really a great playoff slate either. Looking around the NFL, on the six games that there are, I mean, you've got that early game on Saturday. Let me get the schedule pulled up here. Yeah, that game is almost always the NFC South special with the Houston Texans that made the playoffs so many years in a row that would always occupy that game. And this year, hang on a second. This is the slowest laptop ever. It's very frustrating. But as far as the playoff schedule goes on Saturday, you've got Seattle, San Francisco is the early one this time, which I had... Chargers, Jacksonville is a heavy favorite to be in that slot, but they want. I think if Green Bay was playing San Francisco, they wouldn't be in that slot. But since it became Seattle, with those theatrics on Sunday night, that's the early game. I expect San Francisco to have a relatively easy time there. I'm interested in the Chargers Jags game. I think that'll be fun. You know, I've got some family in Jacksonville. For their sake, you know, it's fun. But it's cool when teams that. And franchises and fan bases that don't get to do this very often make it, and they get a home game, and it's in prime time. Like, that Saturday night crowd and that atmosphere in Jacksonville on Saturday is going to be pretty cool. Like, I think that'll be good TV to watch, so I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, same thing. You got Sunday at the Miami-Buffalo game. Injuries are a big part of this. Miami's down to their third quarterback. Giants-Vikings is interesting Sunday at 4:30. Baltimore and Cincinnati was more interesting before we realized Lamar Jackson's going to be out again. That's the Sunday nighter. And then Monday night is Bucks-Cowboys. So honestly, the two games I'm most interested in of the five before the Bucks-Cowboys, Chargers-Jags and Giants-Minnesota. But you know what I'm interested in? All of them. I don't even care who it is. It's playoff football. And the NFL playoffs, like I said at the top of the show, they don't get talked about when you think about like playoffs of different sports. People say the hockey and the hockey playoffs are unbelievable. I love them. But they're a little long. okay? And there's a lot of games and series, they can drag a little bit, okay? The baseball playoffs, you know, they play so many games, and when you finally get to the playoffs, it's really cool to see that intensity uptick because you've got like 1,000 games you play, and then all of a sudden, oh, we lost today, our season's about to end. You know, that intensity swing real quick is pretty good. But the NFL playoffs, and again, the playoff format is magnificent. I liked it with 6, I admit, instead of 7, and 2 byes for the top 2 teams, but I'm not complaining about extra playoff games either. But then the reseeding, all that, and wild card weekend, divisional round, back-to-back, those are 2 phenomenal weekends. And then there's another little bit of news here, and we'll see if it comes up, but this is actually pretty encouraging. According to ProFootballTalk.com, they have changed the playoff overtime format a little bit, not that much, don't freak out, but they have now said, you know, the current NFL rules are if you kick a field goal, the other team gets their chance with the ball. But if you score a touchdown, even if it's the first possession and nobody else touched the ball, that's it. Like, they only made an exception for field goals. Now, no matter what, touchdown, field goal, or nothing, both teams will get a possession, period. And that they're still tied after a possession. So if the team takes the opening kickoff and they drive down 5 plays, they score a touchdown, game is not over. Other team gets the ball. And after 1 possession for each team, if they're still tied, then it's sudden death. This is my solution. I said this years ago. I'm really glad it's happening now, at least in the playoffs. This is my overtime solution for all football games, okay? That's how it should be. I know it's not... When you think about overtimes, you know, especially in a sport like football, it's hard to get an even number of possessions if it goes on and on and on. It's not like... The college overtime sucks, but they have an even number of possessions. But if you just do, okay, everybody's getting the ball once, then after that sudden death, it's a little bit more muted, if there is any advantage at all. I'm not sure there is. I'm not even sure if I was a coach and there's a game tied under this format, I might take the ball second because I at least want to know what I need. And if I do need a touchdown, now I get 4 downs instead of 3 to move the ball because I know I have to go for it. So even though you're thinking, okay, well, they're going to get an extra possession if we're still tied, that's my point. I think it's a pretty good idea, and I'm glad to see it got implemented. We'll see if it actually comes up or not. There has to be an overtime game, but it's pretty encouraging. In the meantime, email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me at BobbyGameDay. If you're looking for a brand new or pre-owned car, truck, or van, whatever it is, and it doesn't matter. And it doesn't even have to be a Ford necessarily. Still, check out Bill Curry Ford. That's where you need to be looking first. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, okay? BillCurryFord.com. Go to the website first. See the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing. Go to the lot a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, east side of the road, just north of Hillsboro. Check out the incredible showroom. The lot's huge. All of it, whatever you end up getting, you are going to be eligible for the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, which means as long as you own the same vehicle you bought at Bill Curry Ford, however long that is, you're covered for engine trouble. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff again. Plus, your oil changes and stuff are free for the first year. So it's really worth a look. Go to the website first, though, BillCurryFord.com. Just snoop around a little bit. Go see my friend Sean Sullivan, the GM. Check him out a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And it will be a great look. The atmosphere on Monday, there's going to be some Cowboys fans. We all know that. That's how the deal works. That's how people are. And, you know, everybody's got different reasons for being a Cowboy. I'm talking about Cowboys fans now. Everybody's got different reasons for that and stuff. For me, and it's just a product of the way I grew up, I'm a Tampa native. I've been a Bucs fan since I knew what the Bucs were. That's how it's supposed to work. I know it's not that way for everybody. It's okay if you're a fan of a team and you're not from that city. I always kind of raise an eyebrow when someone says they're a fan of a team. And I'm like, where are you from? Are you from that area at all? They're not even from anywhere near that area. I know not everybody's me. You know, this stuff was built into my psyche before I even knew, you know, what was going on. In fact, I have attended, and the streak may end on Monday, but I have attended every single Bucks home playoff game in their franchise history. Now, I was born in the summer of 1980. You might be saying, hey, Bobby, the 79 playoffs, they played the first 2 games at home. You beat the Eagles and then lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship. My pregnant mother was at those games, so as a blastocyst, I was there. And I literally been in somewhere in the stadium for all Bucks home playoff games ever. Now, Monday, you know, I'm tempted. See, we've been saying we're going to get together, me and my buddies and stuff like that. And this is, I recommend to all of you, if you have any plans. I know now that it's Monday, it changes it for some people. It is a holiday, so a lot of people have Monday off, but there's still going to be work the next day if you're on a traditional work schedule. And it's going to be late. It's going to end after 11. But don't be that guy who says, oh, it's going to be, I got work tomorrow, it's going to be late, I get... Stay up late and get less sleep for one night of your life, you know? Is it that big? Is it worth not spending time with your friends for this? Plus, we don't know. I mean, this is, the Bucks could lose the game. This could be the last game Tom Brady plays as a Buccaneer. This could be the last time the Bucks are relevant. I'm not saying they're going to fall off a cliff just because Brady leaves, but I mean, who knows, you know? And even if we did know, you never take this stuff for granted. And even with my buddies, we were talking about getting together like a couple weeks ago for this game if I didn't go. And then when it ends up being Monday, a couple of my buddies are like, well, I'll come for the first half. Do not be the guy that shows up to a get-together with your buddies to watch the Bucks game and leaves at halftime of a freaking playoff game. I don't care if it's 10:15. It'll be about 10:15 when it's halftime, maybe a little earlier. I don't care if you've got to get up early. I don't care if you've got kids. I don't care what the hell. Come on. Like, can we dig in for one night here? If we're going to ask the Buccaneers themselves to do it, can we not do it ourselves just to watch? Let's go. And if you want to go to the game, like I said, we need all the Bucks fans we can get. There's going to be plenty of the Cowboy types, you know, the bandwagoners, and that's understandable. That's part of the deal with them. But let's go, all right? Let's get fired up for this. Now, if I had the Power and the Glory CD from NFL Films right now, I'd be playing it. It's not on Spotify. Trust me, I've already looked. I still have the actual CD somewhere in my garage and go dig through all those. But what, I'm just, you should be fired up, and you should be looking for reasons to hang out with your buddies, looking for reasons. Hey, go tailgate. Even if you're not going to the game, go tailgate or something. Set up a TV outside. I don't know. Just get creative and have fun, because let me tell you something right now. First of all, the Bucs season, we don't know how much longer it has in it. But even just football in general only has a few precious weeks. It's Thursday night right now, and I got home from my kid's flag football practice. We have our first ever flag football game tomorrow. My kid is in fifth grade. Most of his friends have been playing for years, but we just started. But anyway, as an aside, I got home from practice tonight. Oh, Thursday night, you know, let's throw the Thursday night football game on. Oh, wait, there is no Thursday night football. In fact, there's not going to be football on Thursday night again for the next 32 Thursdays, okay? Until August 31st, that's when the college opening Thursday night is. And for the NFL, we got literally, maybe it's 14 playoff teams. We got to eliminate 13 of them. We got 13 games left, including the Super Bowl. That's it. After this weekend, okay, there's going to be, what, seven games left to be down to eight teams. It's ticking away. College football's already over with, although that wasn't much to look at Monday night. We're getting down to it. I always start, this is, every year I always do this. As fun as this is, the best part of the football season, I can't help but have the creeping in the back of my mind that it's almost over. And the Bucs case, you know, it feels even like more finality than just simply this season, depending on departures of certain people who we've talked about. So, you know, get excited for it. It's a precious thing, and it doesn't, I mean, how many times do the Bucks have home playoff games? They didn't have any in the 90s at all until like 1997. They went basically 17 years without it, and then we had a little run there for a while. But even then, I mean, you get, you know, every few years you get one of these, maybe two. Even when they won the Super Bowl, they didn't have any, unless you count the Super Bowl itself. So, let's just look ahead. Here's what I'm looking ahead to. I mean, before we go, let me just, this is what I'm thinking for Monday night, okay? My biggest worry is, obviously, you've got, well, Micah Parsons, he's one guy, but it's not, obviously, he's more than just one guy. But the pass rush in general for the Cowboys, it's just like any other football game, both sides. This is going to be up front. It's a whole thing up front. Always is. All right? If we can control their pass rush enough, and I don't just mean physically control it, I mean not let it get into our heads to where we think, we go back to this, let's throw the ball in the first 3 milliseconds that Brady touches it, let's throw it. If we try to do that crap all night, the Bucs will score like what they always score, you know, 13 points, 16 points, some crap like that. It won't be enough, all right? If they move the ball down the field, if Brady feels confident enough to allow plays to develop, if Leftwich feels confident enough in the protection, you know, you had Donovan Smith over there who struggled. Obviously, they've had some injuries, and they had to move Leverett to center. We don't know who's going to play center yet. Haynes, he was out there today, although limited, like I told you at the top of the show. That's a big deal. Like, the Bucs offense needs to be down the field. It needs to be looking for chunks. It needs to be running those intermediate routes in that 10, 15-yard area of the field. Not these quick screens or slants or any of these things that they, like I said, they throw the ball the millisecond Brady gets it. Even if you aren't getting, I'm sure they know how to avoid getting sacked. Brady's good at that, but you have to actually let the routes develop too. So that's my biggest worry, is if they start playing that whole game on offense, it ain't going to work. And on the other side of the ball, like I said, I know the turnovers are a big deal, but those are more random. Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. And, you know, Brian Baldinger, actually, if you follow him on Twitter, he does Baldy's breakdowns, and he did one on the Bucs pass rush this week, looking ahead to the Cowboys game. And it does feel like they've started to get more pressure. It does feel like they've started to figure a few things out up there. And Todd Bowles, if he can continue to dial things up that help generate pressure on Dak. I mean, I know the Cowboys want to run the ball if they can, but, you know, that'd be fine. If the Cowboys are as committed to running the ball as we are to throwing the ball in a millisecond, then both teams will not score anything. You can bet the under, and I don't know who's going to win or lose, but at least the Bucs will have a chance, you know? So, fine. Either way, though, just understand, for what the Bucs just did over 17 games and over 18 weeks, that would normally result in all, I mean, the exact thing they did, just based on geography and luck, has us sitting here talking about the wild card instead of wringing our hands and talking about the draft and wanting everybody fired, which a lot of people still want people fired anyway. I have news for you. I want to say nobody's getting fired. Todd Bowles isn't getting fired. But anyway, point is, instead we're here talking about this game against Dallas and not just talking about it, actually a decent chance to win, okay? And if they do, we'll be back. We'll be back next week either way, but if they do, we'll be back next week and it'll be really on then. And, you know, these things have a way of taking on a life of their own, but you just got, I mean, what's in front of you right now is not insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination. I know the Bucks know that. And we'll see how it actually breaks down on Monday night. I fully expect the red end zones too. Playoffs, you got to go all out for it. It's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be a great time. Thank you for listening to this show. I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks to the Joes at joebucksfan.com for giving me the platform, the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, TV, internet, radio. Thanks to them. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for taking care of the free stretch, as always. But most of all, like I said, thanks to you guys. Take your time this weekend. Be safe. 3-day weekend. Have fun leading up to Monday night. Stay hydrated. Stay ready. Remember, Monday night's still the thing, and we'll be ready for it when it comes. But thanks to everybody for taking the time. I'm Bobby Fenton. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a team in the divisional round. But no matter what we're talking about, wherever you are, until then, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.